for our afternoon reading, let's turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke and read from chapter number 10, the first 20 verses. Luke 10, the first 20 verses. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would grant, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And unto whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in the day of for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get into the text of Luke 10, I'd like to back up a few verses here into chapter 9, where Jesus is interacting with others here who are speaking about following the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that there was a certain man that said unto him, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And let's recall again this morning that we read that verse that we are to be followers of God as dear children. And so Jesus had begun his ministry, and there were those that were attracted to the kingdom of God that he was preaching of. And so this certain man says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He was willing to be a follower. And Jesus responded by saying, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, he was saying that this is an uncertain life. You're going to need to count the cost. And there's going to be some humility along the way. And then to another man, Jesus says, follow me. And he says, well, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus responds, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. It was eminent, it was very important that the kingdom of God would be preached. And so Jesus is telling this man, no, let the dead bury their dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. Preach about his ways. And then there also came another and said, Lord, I will follow thee. Another one desiring to follow the Lord. He says, but let me go first and bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. Let me take care of my family, my domestic duties, and let me say farewell to them, and then I will come and follow you. And Jesus responded by saying, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When the Lord calls us to follow him, he wants us to leave all behind, and put our hand to this plow. Yield ourselves to this kingdom of God and do his will. That we would surrender ourselves, just as we just prayed to the Lord together, that we would surrender of our own will and surrender of ourselves, that the kingdom of God might go forth. And then it says, and after these things, the Lord appointed 70 other also. There were those that wanted to follow. There were those that were making a confession of themselves. I will follow thee. And Jesus also called others, follow me. And it says, now after these things, Jesus appoints 70. And he sends them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So if we just imagine for a moment, here's 35 pairs of men who are commissioned to go and not to loiter along the way, not to take with themselves all their provisions that they would need to, not to salute anyone by the way to stop and visit for a while, but to go on this mission. Go on this mission and preach the kingdom of God into every place that he would go himself. Christ knew that he had this ministry and that he was going to go and forth and show that he was the Son of God, performing miracles, bringing forth the word of God to all these cities and all these places whither he himself would go. And yet we know that this is already the 10th chapter in chapter 6, and in other places he's already had the Sermon on the Mount and he was already proclaiming the word, and there was already those that were responding to this kingdom of God that he was preaching of. As we just read here, these followers that wanted to follow him. And so Jesus says to these 70 whom he appointed, these 35 pairs, he tells them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And we know that to be true even through yet today. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That the petition of these 70 men would be that they would pray to the Lord of the harvest, the one who owns the harvest. It's his harvest. And we are simply laborers in this harvest that belongs to him. And so he's saying that he's the Lord of the harvest and that it's his harvest. It's his possession. He owns this harvest. And there are many scriptures that speak to that, that all things are his, and that God has done great things in Christ. God, he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, under Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. He is the head over all things. The church is his body. It belongs to him. And when we are called into this, as the 70 were, to go forth and preach the gospel, we need to remember that the harvest is his, and he is the Lord of the harvest. And we are simply to do what he would have us to do and yield ourselves to him. And again, there's a cost associated with that. He's saying to them, go your ways. I'm going to send you as lambs among wolves. There is vulnerability when we are placed in this way that Christ would have us to go. As we yield ourselves to the Lord, as we want to build out his kingdom, as we are laborers in his kingdom, there are times when we simply have to go in faith and in obedience, just as these 70 were called to go. And they fulfilled this. And this is the beauty of this, that we can see that they went forth in faith and in obedience. And we need to live out our lives as followers of God, as dear children, as followers of Christ, that we need to go forth in faith and in obedience. We don't know what lies ahead. We lay ourselves to be vulnerable before men. We are sent forth as lambs among wolves. It's not that we go in strength. It's not that we go in power. It's not that we are mighty of ourselves. We are sent forth as lambs among wolves. The power belongs to the Lord. As Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It says, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Go about your duty. Have faith. Don't make provisions. And go forth speedily with purpose. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it, and if not, it shall turn to you again. So he's saying, as you're going into these cities, as you're going into these places, the laborer is worthy of his hire, and there you will go into houses, and whatever they give you to eat in this house, partake of it. Whatever it is that they give, partake of it, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. And then he says, and go not from house to house. And we know how that is sometimes when you're not settled in one area yet, and you're hopping on to the next area, and then before you're settled there, you're hopping on to the. It's exhausting. It's difficult. And so Jesus here is saying, go not from house to house. And if your peace is there, let your peace reside there. And if your peace is not there, it will return to you again. And so it was in these cities, as it is in hearts of men and in homes today, that there is peace where there is love and where there is joy in the Lord, and where there's a submission and obedience and a walking in faith to the Lord, there is peace there. Peace in that heart, a peace in that home. And it's a pleasant place. It's a pleasant environment. But if there is not, then it's a difficult environment. It's a difficult environment. So he speaks here of going from into a house as they go from city to city. Then he says, and into whatsoever city ye enter, not a house anymore, but into whatever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. Again, as you enter the city and they're going to give you some provision of meals, then simply accept it, the Lord Jesus Christ says. Simply accept it. And there's a lot of teaching that could be had in that, and certainly there are other aspects to look at when we look at this commission of the Lord to these 70 men. But I'd like to focus on the faith that they had and simply the obedience that they had. So they were given three things to do here as they would enter into a city. The first is that they were to receive those things that were set before them, and that they were to heal the sick. And so Christ gave them power to heal those that were sick in these cities. It was Christ's power working in them, just as it was when Peter raised that man that was lame there outside of the temple, and Peter tells the people, they were all excited, and Peter tells the people, well, why are you looking on us as if by our own power or our own might we made this man to walk? It was by the Lord Jesus Christ. And same with these 70 disciples, and same with us. Whatever the results are, if they are even favorable, the glory goes to the Lord. The glory goes to the Lord at all times. And so as they were able and given this power to heal the sick that were therein, and having devils subject unto them, that was something that they were amazed about. And it says also that that they were to preach that the kingdom of God was to come nigh unto them. The kingdom of God. God's will, God's way. Doing what God would have mankind to know and to do. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew's gospel began that Sermon on the Mount by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is how it is that we might enter into God's kingdom, when we would go and lay our will and our life behind and follow the Lord, that we would be poor in spirit. And if we are poor in spirit, then Jesus Christ says that ours is the kingdom of heaven. That becomes ours when we are poor in spirit, not prideful, not thinking that we are something of ourselves, but when we are poor in spirit, ours is the kingdom of heaven. And then there was a time when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus was explaining to him how he might be born again. And Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that rings true yet today. We cannot see this kingdom of God. We cannot see God's will, God's way, God's plan for mankind if we are not born again. And it is through much tribulation that the apostles found. It was through much tribulation that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so they went forth, and these 35 pairs are covering a lot of ground, as you might imagine. 35 pairs covering cities and places and going into other areas where Jesus Christ himself was going to be coming. And if we look earlier in chapter 9, it says that they were actually on their way down to, or going south to Jerusalem. They were on their way south. But these 70 men were actually covering ground up in Galilee. They were in the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. That's up on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And so it was that these men were covering ground, and they were bringing that kingdom of God to all places. And there were some houses that they would go in and the peace would be there, and then there would be some houses that they would go in and the peace was not there. And they would be going into cities that the city would receive them, and they would have their sick healed, and that they would also have the kingdom of God preached unto them, that they would understand what it is, what the will of God is, and that they would receive that. And they did, some of these cities. Then it says, "But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." So there would be cities that they would go in, and the people there would not receive that message. They wouldn't want to be poor in spirit. They wouldn't want to be born again. They didn't want to know that the kingdom of God is not with word, but with power. They were perhaps pleased to be comforted and solaced in what the scribes were teaching, that was just simply in words, and it wasn't in power. And so some of these cities did not receive them. And this was instruction that was given unto them before they left for their journey. And the instruction to them was given that they should wipe off the dust against them. But to let them know, regardless, if you don't want to accept it now, the Lord Jesus is coming. And he will come to these cities. And he will proclaim this truth, that the kingdom of God is coming to them. That they would know and be assured that this is what the Lord had in mind. "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." And so we reflect on this and think that Jesus Christ here is saying, for that city that doesn't want to receive this good news of the kingdom of God, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom than for that city. That city is going to receive strong destruction. And yet we know that Sodom received destruction. But there was going to be a severe destruction to those who rejected this message that the 70 were bringing to them. And so we think of Sodom, and the Bible says that the sin of Sodom was pride, fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness, and they didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. That was Sodom's sin. They were filled with themselves. They were prideful. They had an abundance of everything. They didn't need the Lord. They didn't need anything. They had abundance of food, an abundance of idleness, looking for things to do, getting in trouble. That was their sin. And yet, for these cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, the judgment was going to be swifter. It was going to be more severe for them because they rejected the word of the Son of God. The Son of God appeared to them. The Son of God came unto their own, to the Jews, and they rejected him. And because of that, there was going to be severe judgment for them. Christ says, he's speaking to the 70, but he's speaking of Chorazin and Bethsaida. He says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works, these mighty works were these 70 were healing the sick, and where Jesus Christ had made his miracles known unto them likewise, if those mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they would have a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." They saw the work of the Lord. And likewise for us. How many times have we been to church? How many times have we opened the Word? How much do we know? And if we fulfill not God's word, the judgment will be severe on us likewise. Jesus said, "For unto whomsoever much is given," that's us, "much is required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more." We have been given much in terms of knowledge of the word, knowledge of what Christ's will is for us, knowledge of the kingdom of God, and what God would have us to be involved in. And if we receive not what God has for us, then just as it is for Chorazin and Bethsaida, it will be a severe judgment. It's interesting to note that one of the apostles, Philip, was from Bethsaida. So there were some that did turn to the Lord. "But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be thrust down into hell." Again, here's another city. It's on the coast of the sea. And they thought of themselves very highly. Very highly. And Jesus says, you're going to be thrust down to hell. Because again, Jesus taught that this is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. "Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, but whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted." And again, we were reminded of that last Wednesday night about having that mind of Christ. And he was full of meekness. And he said, "Blessed are the meek." And here was Capernaum, Jesus saying, you're exalted up to heaven. Exalted up to heaven. And we need to be very cautious of that in our lives, that when things are just going well, things are just going great, and then they even get better than you expected, well, sometimes pride can come in our lives when things are in that stage or in that phase of our lives. And we need to guard against that, because that has no place in the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus here also then says, "He that heareth you heareth me." Again, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of the harvest. He owns it. It's his harvest. He is the Lord of it. And so he says to these 70 that are sent out, if they hear you, they're hearing me. Because it's not your words, it's my words, Jesus says. "And he that despiseth you," they don't really despise you. They're despising the message that I'm giving. "And he that despises me," Christ says, "despiseth him that sent me." Despises the God the Father. And there is great severity when one would despise the Lord Jesus and God the Father. It's great severity of judgment. And so it says here that after some time had transpired, that the 70 returned again with joy, They had joy in their hearts. And they were saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And they had it right. They didn't know. They knew that it wasn't that the devils were subject unto them because they had power of themselves. But they say, but through your name, the Lord Jesus, the devils were subject unto us. We were healing those that were sick. Devils were cast out. And it was glorious. And they were joying in this. And Satan, and then Jesus says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. As quick and as sudden and as powerful and as a lightning travels from the air down to the ground so quickly, that's what Jesus was saying that was happening with Satan. Because all power is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy. And so he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, he says, I give you power to tread on serpents. Again, this is given by the Lord. It wasn't power of them of the 70 themselves, but it was power from the Lord. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. So even though they were as lambs among wolves, there was nothing that hurt them because the Lord said so, and the Lord kept them. And the Lord prayed for us, too, there in that beautiful prayer that was recorded in John 17, how Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's saying that we would be kept from evil, that we are in this world, and there's evil all around us, but that we would be kept from the evil that is in this world. And here, the Lord Jesus is also saying, there's nothing that by any means shall hurt you. And so, as that was given to them, let's take comfort in the promises of Jesus that he gives unto us, that he is with us and always will be with us. Again, we're a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. The 70 recognized this as they were sent out. And it's the Lord in his wisdom knew that when they would go forth in pairs that they would be able to strengthen and help each other. And the Lord in his wisdom gives unto us the things that are good and right and will strengthen us and will provide for us in our ways that we work and labor in this kingdom of God. And again, they recognized that this was something that was bigger than them. And likewise for us, that we recognize that it's not about one individual, it's not about a smaller group, it's about the kingdom of God. And he is the Lord of that harvest. He is our Lord for all of us, for all of us. And we look to him for grace. And we look to him for strength. And we look for him to protect us as we go forth as lambs among wolves in such a vulnerable state. But yet we go forth in obedience and we go forth in faith, believing that what he says is true. And so as Christ says here that he beheld Satan being cast from heaven as lightning, he says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. When we yield ourselves to the Lord, when we are poor in spirit, we have the kingdom of heaven. When we are born again, we can be a part of the kingdom of God. We can be a part of the kingdom of God that's not in word. It's not just simply spoken. It's not just philosophy or theology, but it's in power. It's in truth. God's Spirit is there in our lives. And then when we yield ourselves to him, and we give our lives to him, and we sacrifice all, and we leave it all behind, and we follow him, even when he calls us to be followers of his as lambs among wolves, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a glorious thought. And so Jesus tells the 70, and then Jesus tells us as well, rejoice, rejoice. Don't be rejoicing in the things that I was able to do through you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so in that, we can rejoice. And in that, we know that we are a part of the kingdom of God and part of something that is much bigger than us, much bigger than us. And we get to be laborers
Truly, there's so much that we can learn and benefit from as we read the gospel together. We see Jesus Christ in his example, sending the 70 out to preach and to teach. We see his mercy and kindness in their names being written in heaven. And we ponder and wonder at how Jesus might deal with us. We see the disciples and those who are called, these 70, they are given a single message, a simple message, and it is a challenge to us. Are we on message, or are we distracted? Are we portraying that simple statement of the kingdom of God and declaring that kingdom in all we do, say, speak about? And then there's the crowds. We could be part of the crowds and maybe take our lesson from the cities and the homes. What sort of home, what sort of city, what sort of individual am I as I receive the word? Am I a place? Is my home a place that is characterized by peace, where the preaching of the word and the messages of the truth of the Bible are welcome and can stay and remain? And when we fellowship with one another, that our peace grows when we're together. There are those also that rejected the message. And we really need to take this to heart, that Jesus didn't insist that the disciples stay with those that rejected, to keep pleading with them and to keep asking them kindly to come. There's a limited time to respond. And it is a very public announcement about the rejection and the consequences of turning away from the word that is spoken. That is what Jesus commanded the disciples to do. All that makes manifest is the light. And there is much light in the gospel for us to learn from Jesus' example, from the word to the disciples and also the crowds, for us to ponder, what lesson do I take with me? What part of this story do I fit in? Listen to the Spirit's guidance and follow his direction to his honor and glory. May God bless his word. Amen.